Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm the aforementioned Tim Wildman, and thank you for listening to this program and to American Family Radio throughout your day. Hope you're doing that. Joining me to co-host today is Dr. Ray Pritchard from Dallas TX. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, I'm doing great, Tim. How are you?
Well, I think our burn ban is over through most of the South now. There's a lot of rain coming in.
Well, we've got rain and then tremendous cold weather coming in from the Northwest and Great Plains, so
yeah, thank you, you, Canada.
That's
good
night. It's coming.
Fred Jackson, news director here for American Family News, hails from the Great White North. What's up with Canada sending us all this weather?
Well, we're just trying to be nice,
just friendly neighbors.
We want you to have a white Christmas, so here you go.
Hey, Fred grew up in Nova Scotia, but lived all over Canada. As I understand it, though, Ray, that blast is actually originating up in Alaska or something like
that. Oh, yeah. It started in Alaska, and it came down through, I guess, Fred.
It's not here yet, though, is it? Is it here yet?
Okay. It's in the northern Great Plains up in Montana and Wyoming. But, you know, they're always cold.
They're used to that, though.
They're used to it. But it's coming, baby. Everybody, you know that song, Baby, It's Cold Outside?
Yeah.
We're all going to be singing that in a day or two.
Mm. Well, I think where we live, I don't know where, but Dallas, and here in Tupelo, it's going to be 19, I think.
There's a low of 19 overnight coming Thursday, I think.
Yeah, what about you, Ray? It's colder than that?
It's down about that, down into the low 20s, upper teens. Just really, really cold, right?
Yeah, you don't want to go outside. Are you going to ride your bike that day, by the way? I'm just curious.
If I do, early in the day, not late in the day, right?
Okay. Walker Wildman is here with us. Walker's going to keep our Facebook page humming throughout the show. He's going to keep all the stories up that we talk about posted there. Our Facebook page has really become more active.
Yeah, it's very interactive. A lot of supporters,
It's the spring of our Facebook page, not the winter.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever
like
that means.
Metaphor.
It's warm and happy on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot
of
our listeners.
For years, we lay dormant. But now we've sprung up like a flower.
Wow.
Ooh. Wow. Yeah, wow.
I'm good. Hey, you're welcome.
What do you call that, a metaphor?
Or analogy? Yes, a metaphor and a poem. And
it's a poet.
And I'm a poet, and mm-hmm. I'm glad
we're going to sell this segment.
I'm glad to make my contribution to our show here. Anyway, what you got going over there?
Well, we're on Facebook Live, and to give our listeners a sneak peek into what's going to happen in the next hour, we're going to have Breitbart's CEO on. The Breitbart News Organization, their CEO is going to come on, and he's going to tell us the latest on their Dump Kellogg's campaign.
Okay, the Kellogg company has told Breitbart they don't share their values, therefore they're discontinuing their advertising with them.
Yes.
And we'll find out what that's all about.
Exactly.
And also Dr. Frank Turek, right?
Yeah, Dr. Frank Turek and Sandy Rios. And okay. Steve Jordahl from One News Now.
And Fred Jackson. Fred, what do you got for us this morning?
Oh, I was just saying before the program, President-elect Donald Trump is going to be fascinating to cover. He's been tweeting again. All right. Early this morning. Here we go. Here's what he tweeted.
What time this morning?
7:52, which is actually late for him. Normally he's up before the dawn, but here's what he tweeted. Boeing is building a brand new 747 Air Force One for future presidents, but costs are out of control, more than $4 billion. Cancel order, exclamation mark.
Wait, let's start over with that now.
We got to get into this.
All right. There's a line item in the budget to replace the current Air Force Ones. There are two copies of these 747-200s, and they're about to expire their lifespan. And so there's a line item in the budget to pay Boeing $4 billion to bring in two new 747-800 versions. Donald Trump tweets out this morning, cancel order. That's too much.
What?
Wow. First time we've ever heard that in government.
That's right.
It's amazing. And
he'll probably just say, I'll use my own plane.
Well, here's what he's saying, you know, and of course, the reporters right away, when he went into Trump Towers this morning, we have a question about that.
And cancel that order.
And he says,
it's his plane.
He says, the plane is totally out of control. It's going to be over $4 billion for the Air Force One program. And he says, we want Boeing to make a lot of money, but not that much money.
Oh, baby.
I did some research into, can he fly in his own private plane? The answer is no.
No.
He cannot step foot on any plane other than Air Force One. Well, it's not Air Force One unless he's on it.
And Marine One.
It has to be Air Force authorized planes for him to step foot on.
Right, for security purposes.
He can't be flying in his private jets
as
president.
I think he knows that.
Yeah,
he knows that, but what he's saying to Boeing, $4 billion is
too
much.
He's
for
making
two
a
airplanes.
Point. He's making a point that government spending is out of control. I wonder if they took bids on something like that.
I doubt it.
Well, how many people can make planes? I mean, you can't just, you know, not everybody can make a.
I think what he's saying is, hey, listen, bring the cost down to Boeing, or we'll keep using the ones that we bought. Some 20 some years ago. Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying.
He's learned. That's good PR for him, any way you cut it, right?
And listen, there's a brand new sheriff in town. It's Donald Trump, and he likes to tweet.
It's unbelievable. That's right.
He's
not even in the office yet.
No,
right? No.
Cancel them. Cancel those orders for those Air Force Ones we got on order.
Can you imagine the folks out in Seattle where they make these things?
Yeah.
What did this guy say?
Are we supposed to stop, boss?
Right. What do we do?
You wait till he gets that first budget bill when he gets in office. He's not going to just sign it. He's going to go through and start slashing stuff.
He's going to negotiate on Twitter with the congressional leaders.
Oh, man. Anyway, we're going to be doing some follow up to that today. The other thing, the story that we're following this morning takes us up to Minneapolis, and this is another one of those religious freedom issues. There is a couple in Minneapolis, Carl and Angel Larson, and the name of their company is Telescope Media Group, and they make short films. There's a law that has been passed in Minnesota that would force them, if they did a film, if they made a film celebrating biblical marriage, marriage between a man and a woman. This law would force them to make a film that would promote and put homosexual marriage in a positive light. And so this has been passed into law, but in what the legal people call a pre-enforcement challenge, which is what the ACLU does all the time when they don't like laws, they are in court today to basically say, this is unconstitutional, this is against our First Amendment rights, that would force us to do something against our Christian beliefs. So, again, this is the latest case where Christian business people, are under attack, being told that, you know, if you sell cookies and you sell or a wedding cake for a Christian wedding, a biblical wedding, that you must do the same for a homosexual wedding. So this is just another chapter, but what's different about this, they are going to court before the state has a chance to enforce this new law. That's one in Minneapolis. And third this morning, I know we have to go to our guest in just a few moments. We have a story on Associated Press story on One News Now this morning that you might want to take a look at. The headline is Ransom, the Freeing of 226 Christians from Islamic State. And basically, the story is about a priest in Syria who started a campaign to raise money for a ransom to be paid to ISIS terrorists so that they would release these 226 Christians. Now, apparently he has succeeded in this. He went out and got money from Europeans and other people around the world. The money that was necessary, we're told that it's millions of dollars that he raised to get the release of these 226 Christians. And depending on your point of view, I'm sure if you're family members of these Christians, there are people who are going to celebrate this, but it also creates a very dangerous precedent, obviously, that ISIS would take advantage of. In order to release any more Christians, you're going to have to come up with millions of dollars. So we are getting reaction to that also today. And so those are the major stories that are happening in the news right now.
Ray?
So Fred, I want to go back to this ransom question. Mm-hmm. So, what group of Christians is this that's doing this? And who actually were they literally paying money that was knowing that it was going to end up in the hands of ISIS? Is that basically?
Oh yeah, yeah. This is according to the story. Deep inside Syria, a bishop worked around the blurred edges of international law to save the lives of more than 200 people. One of the largest groups of hostages yet documented in the ISIS war in Syria and Iraq. Took more than a year and videotaped killings of three captives before all the rest were freed. Now, the money went to individuals in Iraq, and somehow that money then got transferred to the ISIS terrorists, and they agreed to release these Christians.
Hmm. You know, there are, Fred, as you said, there's more than one side to this, because it's a bad road to go down paying off terrorists to get people free, right?
Right.
But if you're part of this, what is it, a Syrian Christian group that they trace their heritage, I guess, all the way back to Doubting Thomas and the Church of the East, and they speak Aramaic, that's a pretty small group. Mm-hmm. You can understand that inside that group, and they've been chased from place to place across the Middle East, I don't blame them. You know, you can see it from their side.
Yes.
We've got to get the money to get our people, mm-hmm. or else they're going to be murdered, mm-hmm. raped, beaten, or whatever. This is a tough one.
Yeah, it is.
Well, you know, the United States government, has had a policy up until President Obama broke it with the bribe to Iran to get the hostages released, which they deny, but that's what it was. The four people they were holding, four Americans they were holding. But we've had a policy historically not to pay ransom for people who are kidnapped. Mm-hmm. And the reason is not because our government about American human lives is heartless. It's because once you start paying ransom, then there's no end to it. It only encourages more kidnappings. You can see how the logic of that. However, you're not talking about the government, a government here. You're talking about a private entity, mm-hmm. which raises money to pay ransom to get these Christians from, I guess, ISIS?
226. ISIS has been holding them there in Syria.
Yeah, and see, you know, if that's your family member, it doesn't matter how much it costs. You don't care. You just want them to be freed. So yeah. I can understand the desperation here of these people. Let me ask you this, Ray, and then Fred, you might want to chime in on this as well, Walker. But I'm just throwing this out, this question out there, and it may sound like it's going to be where are you going with this, Tim, question, but I want to ask you, Ray, why would ISIS why do they want to kidnap and hold Christians?
Well, surely it's because of their they understand, in a way, you can give them credit for one thing. When they beheaded those 21 Coptic Christians, they said, these are the people of the cross from the land of the cross. They, in some ways, they understand the difference between their version of Islam and Christianity than a lot of people on our side. So they know that they have to wipe Christianity out. And not just Christianity, but, you know, there's the Yazidis and the others, but they're especially come after Christians because they stand against those people and everything we believe.
Okay. Why? But what is it that these Christians do that the ISIS, stands for the Islamic State, what do they do that is so offensive to the ISIS Muslims that they must kill them or eradicate them from the face of the earth?
Well,
do you see what I'm driving at here?
Yeah, I do. And I would say this is the right season of the year to be asking that question, because we're heading up to Christmas, right? Celebrate the birth of Christ. But Christians say that's not just the birth of a baby. That's the incarnation. That's the moment when God became a man. Almighty God entered the human race through the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's anything that's clear in the Quran, God, God does not have a son. He cannot have a son. They deny the very possibility of the incarnation. So at the very heart of our faith, the great miracle that we're celebrating at Christmas time, that itself, the concept of God having a son, is deeply offensive and goes against what the Quran says. So, yes, they want to wipe it out.
Okay, so what we see happening in other parts of the world, not only in the Middle East but in Africa, wherever Islam is dominant and aggressive, Boko Haram, for example. I know that some Muslims will say these aren't real Muslims, but I'm just, you know, okay, right. Okay, I'm not going to argue.
They say they're Muslims,
and their numbers are huge. Okay, and they say they're advancing Islam. But here's my point: is that because you may wonder what do these Christians do? Possibly due to these Muslim terrorist groups that could make them want to burn them alive and cut their heads off and rape and on them. It's because these people believe theologically that Allah is pleased when they persecute or kill the infidel, and they are going to therefore be rewarded by Allah, which is their name of their God, for doing these things. Doing these atrocities. So you wonder, Fred, you go, how could people possibly do these things to other human beings? Well, to them, we're not human beings in the sense that we have value. We are infidels who are enemies of Allah. Therefore, we need to be destroyed in order for these people to please Allah and themselves have a chance of going to paradise when they die. So oftentimes these things are just, you know, we just hear stories in a vacuum, especially the liberal news media. They'll never tell you, well, you know, the reason this jihadi, which they won't even call him that, you know, killed people in Columbus, Ohio, or tried to kill people in Columbus, Ohio, is because he thought God wanted him to kill the Christians or the infidel. And they never explain. They just say extremist or terrorist, if they even say terrorist. So I'm just trying to put some theological context into the reasons why we see these things happening over and over and over and over and over again.
Well, and it is driven by their theology, and their theology in a broader context is we're going to take over the world.
Right.
And
right.
So
a caliphate.
We have to defeat the enemy. And some of their enemies are so-called moderate Muslims. That's why in these mass graves that we have been discovering around Mosul and in other places, there are mass graves of Christians, but there's also mass graves of Muslims who are refusing to join them. So they kill them, men, women, and children.
Right.
These are the kinds of individuals that we're dealing with here. They're monsters, plain and simple.
Yeah. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Walker?
I was going to say also, the Quran teaches, and some of the Islamic teaching, is that it's okay for Muslims to lie as long as it furthers the cause of their religion.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be careful about assuming that all Muslims are telling the truth when they say they're not aligned with jihad or they don't take a radical viewpoint, because they may say that coming into our country when filling out an application, but they could be simply lying to further their
Well, that's
religion.
True. It's a part of Islamic teaching, isn't it, Ray, to advance their religion?
Well, absolutely. And they're allowed to use a kind of deception or not tell the truth or cover things up in order to advance their mission. And I was thinking, Fred, really, if given what you guys are saying, this circles back around to the original question about paying to get your hostages back. Mm-hmm. If you know you're dealing with people like this, right, and they've got your grandkids—
Yeah,
you're going to do it. I mean, you can't leave. You can't leave it in that situation because these are people who will chop heads off and think they're pleasing Allah in the process.
The way that the ISIS and these people operate and the brutality and the barbarism in which they act, Ray, tells me that these people are satanically controlled. because this isn't, you know, you're just your average pagan out there is not going to treat people this way. You understand what I'm saying?
There's a certain kind of spiritual darkness.
That's what I'm saying.
Uh-huh. We know 2 Corinthians 4:4, the god of this world, it's the devil, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. But there are different levels of spiritual blindness, because there are some lost people who are very sympathetic and open to the gospel, frankly waiting for somebody to understand it. And there are levels, just as there are levels of spiritual enlightenment, you come closer to the Lord, you understand, there are levels of deep demonic darkness.
Yeah.
And who can doubt that the leaders of ISIS and the people are cutting the heads off, they are not just in darkness. This is satanically inspired dark.
That's what I'm saying. You can't do these things to even to women and children, Fred. The level of brutality that we see is just beyond
comprehension. And taking pleasure in it. And videotape. One of the most disturbing things that I've seen in the last 6 months are videotape of ISIS that has taken training little boys to cut the heads off of individuals, training little children to do this.
Right.
And I was listening to a message from your pastor this morning, Ray, Pastor Jeffress, First Baptist Dallas, and he addressed this issue as part of his sermon. This is demonic. Mm-hmm. You cannot explain it any other way. This is demonic that's going on in these countries. These are people who are giving themselves over to Satan's agenda.
Well, and that's why Fred and Tim and Walker, there's no negotiating. You don't sit down and negotiate with people who are satanically inspired. You got to wipe them out, or they're going to wipe you out.
Yeah. Well, we will. Is that story you've talked about posted there?
Yes.
It's on the Facebook
page.
And
also, we mentioned yesterday about we're participating in the letters to Syrian Christians. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right, Walker?
The Orange Letter Campaign. Our own division here, Engage Magazine, is heading that up. And you can go to engagemagazine.net and find out more information how to send letters to Syrians who are being persecuted.
We're asking people to write letters to Syrian Christians who are under persecution, and we will get those letters to those people.
What a fantastic campaign.
Mm-hmm. Not just us, America, but we're working with another group. But
Can you imagine being a Christian in Syria, living in fear for your life, and you get a letter from the West saying, we're praying for you. That's amazing.
Where can people find out more about that? We mentioned this yesterday.
Yeah, they can go to our Today's Issues Facebook page. It's up there from yesterday. And they can also go to engagemagazine.net.
We're working with another group.
On E3 this. Partners.
Okay. Yeah. And they facilitate this. And how it all started was, you remember those Christians who were beheaded on the in Libya, I think it was.
Right.
They were Egyptian Coptic Christians. They were beheaded in Libya. We all remember them parading them out on the beach in their orange suits, and they were killed for their Christian faith. Huh. And then this group that we work with, again, what's the name of it?
E3 Partners.
Yeah, we worked with them to for people to write letters and then send them to the families of those who died. And so that sort of started this this idea of around Christmas time sending letters, personal letters, to people who are suffering for Jesus in other parts of the world. Fred Jackson. Okay. Fred, thank you. Where can people find out everything?
Go to onenewsnow.com, onenewsnow.com, latest news of the day, right there.
Thank you, Fred. All right, we're going to pause and take a break right here, and then we'll be back after the news. We'll give you an update on this situation in Connecticut, where the comptroller there of the state of Connecticut is questioning whether American Family Association is a charity or not. He doesn't think so. We'll talk about that in a minute.
On the next Today's Issues, one story says Americans didn't vote for a change. The Democrats just didn't get their message out.
They were prevented from getting their message out by Fox News and stuff.
Well, because the media is right wing and biased against the Democrats. Man.
That's what they're
saying. Wow. We'll have reports from Steve Jordahl and Fred Jackson. And Abraham Hamilton III will be in to help make sense of the latest. That's on the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR.
Hey, our Holy Land tour in March is filling up. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We only go one time a year to Israel, and that's in March. And our tour leaves the 9th and gets back on the 17th. And as I say, we don't have a whole lot of space left on this tour. So if you'd like to go with us and see the Holy Land, you need to give us a call at 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and we'll send you a brochure. 800-FAMILIES, with an S, option 5, and leave us your name and your address. We'll send you a brochure. Or go online at twholyland.com, twholyland.com. Again, we're going to Jerusalem and Bethlehem and Jericho and Nazareth and the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River. All those places and much, much more. So join us on this very special tour of Israel in March.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. They have an app for everything these days, including heart attacks. Pulse Point is a free download. The app connects people trained in CPR with patients who need urgent help. The other day, Stephen DeMott collapsed at a bus stop in front of the University of Washington Medical Center. Turns out his app alerted 41 people within 300 yards that he was in distress. A medical student and cardiac nurse rushed over, began chest compressions, rendered help until the paramedics got there. Mr. DeMott survived and is doing just fine, telling everyone he knows how the Pulse Point app helped save his life. The app's being used in 28 states now and 2,000 cities. Dateline, Ludington, Michigan, home of a new Guinness World Record. The House of Flavors built the world's largest ice cream sundae, nearly a half mile. Took several thousand folks to eat all that ice cream, not to mention a boatload of whipped cream. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Tim Wildman here. Walker Wildman, keeping our Facebook page going. Got the stories we talked about?
Yes, sir. All
doing
the stories
your job over
today's
there?
Issues.
Okay.
Doing my job.
Facebook for Today's Issues, and we are video streaming as well if you want to check that out from the studio.
If I wasn't doing my job, I wouldn't tell you.
Facebook Live. You know, that's a good point. Duly
that's
noted.
Right.
Ray Pritchard, also co-hosting with me from Dallas. Hey, I want to tell you, folks, in case you didn't hear about this story, I'll be brief. But late last week, we here at American Family Association got a letter. It was directed to me because I'm the president of the ministry, from a fellow in Connecticut. Well, he wasn't just any fellow. He is the comptroller for the state of Connecticut. That's an elected position. And you got your governor, lieutenant governor in most states, attorney general, and then you've got things like the treasurer. This would be the equivalent, probably in a lot of states, of the treasurer, state treasurer. Well, the guy's name is, what is his name, Mark? Kevin Lembo.
Yes.
L-E-M-B-O is his name, comptroller, state of Connecticut. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try not to bore you with details here, but we send letters into all 50 states as a charity, a 501c3 tax-exempt IRS-recognized charity. But we also have to register with the various states because, and it's a good thing, because it keeps people, they're trying to keep people, if you're going to raise money in a particular state, that state has a right to know that you're sending letters into their citizens and that you're not a fraudulent mm-hmm. operation or you're trying to rip people off. So we've been doing this forever. We just register with the states. Well, this fellow, Mr. Lembo, is the first one to ever write us a letter on official state letterhead, basically scolding us for having the wrong political views, mm-hmm. especially on homosexuality. In fact, he says, he sends us this letter last week, and he says, I'm paraphrasing here, but I'm questioning whether you're even a legitimate charity at all. and I'm going to open up an investigation of you. He says, I'm a gay man and married, and I'm adopting a child, and your views aren't acceptable.
Yeah.
Especially, isn't that what I got the essence of the letter?
Yeah, that's essentially what he said. And specifically, he said, quote, there are several indications that AFA may be violating these anti-discrimination prohibitions.
Right.
But he
right.
never cites any laws or statutes.
No, he doesn't cite a chapter and verse from a state law in Connecticut that we're in violation of. He doesn't give us a date to respond or anything. He just sort of leaves it out there saying, I'm investigating you. And but the point is, we told you, we told folks that this day was coming.
Well, it's here now.
Yeah,
right?
It's here now. Yeah.
This is an extremely, I mean, the letter, by the way, folks, you can, you know, it's posted on the AFR website, but I'm looking at it right now. This is a chilling thing. This is an official right. in Connecticut who wishes on purely religious or theological
yes,
grounds
yes.
to exclude American Family right. Radio from right. the giving program in that state. This very dangerous precedent.
Yeah, and so we'll see what happens with this. We're developing our response to him, this fella. Had Hillary Clinton been elected president, there's no doubt in my mind that we would have got a letter like this from the federal government mm-hmm. in the next
right.
couple of years. Telling us, American Family Association, you no longer have a right to broadcast your radio stations because we're taking your license away because you're a hate group. Your Bible teachers will have to cease talking about homosexuality, or else we will revoke your IRS status. Those kinds of things would have been happening. Walker, you
yeah,
want
and
to
if
say?
If our listeners are saying, well, what can I do? Well, you can go to AFA.net, that's AFA.net, our website, and you can take action from there. You can call the state comptroller's office or email them and let them know that
yeah.
you would like them to retract this letter.
So, we're asking people to let Mr. Lembo, L-E-M-B-O is his last name, hear from American Family supporters.
Yeah.
And obviously, we ask you to be polite. The person answering the phone, Mr. Lembo, is probably not going to answer the phone himself.
right.
He's probably got... Right. He's probably got secretaries or receptionists, so they're not the ones that have sent us this letter. So just, you can register your complaint but wish them a Merry Christmas, but the people answering the phone are not responsible for the decision, so please be nice to those folks. But we're asking people to call and or email and let this gentleman know we don't appreciate this witch hunt that he's on against American Family Association because he's a – And, you know, he tells us in the letter to me, I'm a gay man, and I'm married or getting married.
Yeah, I'm married.
And
kids.
I'm adopting
right.
or something. So this is a guy who doesn't like us personally because of our theological disagreements with him. So he's trying to use his office to punish us.
Yeah, right.
And that's, as Ray said, that's a scary thing if that could go on. In America, we said that this would happen eventually, and I talked to some folks who've been around a long time in the legal defense of Christians, and they said they've never seen a letter like this on official government letterhead, mm-hmm. which this Mr. Lim. So where can they read about this, Walker?
AFA.net. AFA.net.
It's up front and center?
Yes.
Okay. You're listening to the radio program, Today's Issues. We'll follow up on that, folks, and keep you informed about that. Joining us in the studio is JJ Jasper, who's here with us on Fridays with Trivia Friday. JJ's got a brand new book out, a book of short story humor, which we thought been a great stocking stuffer. I don't mean that, that's not to demean your book, JJ. So you call it a stocking stuffer, that's like it's not legitimate just to be a gift outright. You know, it's just, you know, that's what it
right,
sounds like.
Right.
You know, it's not really worthy of being a gift, but if you just want to, you know, an afterthought stuff in the stocking, then I think people would accept it. But I'm not saying that. I'm saying when people say it's a stock. What's the name of your book now?
The book is
War and Peace.
Jonah Had a Whale of a Time, Random True Stories to Encourage and Inspire. And if I can start here,
Did you say the name of the book was what?
It is Jonah Had a Whale of a Time.
I get it.
Yeah.
That's right. My
grandmother, and her friends used to say, we had a whale of a time, meaning
right.
we had a big time, yeah. whatever it was they were doing. But if I can start, I'd like to start right here. A pastor, a priest, and a comptroller walked into a bar.
Oh, gosh.
Here we go, folks.
Hey, Brent, hit record, please.
No. The book's only been out a couple of weeks, and AFR has been so kind to invite me on all the programs today. And I know this, people love to laugh. It's biblical. Proverbs 17:22
says... Did you say biblical? What did you say?
Umbilical. There's an umbilical cord right, of umbilical. Laughter connected to every newborn
that
baby.
Was good.
Hey, Ray, I'm getting off track here, but I know you counsel a lot of people as a former pastor, and the next time you talk to someone who is discouraged about being from a dysfunctional background, this is something to consider if you're from a dysfunctional background.
This book?
No, this quote. Every baby chicken... came from a broken home.
Oh, that's good.
Now, that's Butter true. Boom. That is true. Hey,
that would be a good title for your next book.
Well, that's a one-liner. I put one-liners between the chapters. The chapters are so fantastic. Wacky and zany, you're going to doubt that they're true. They're 100% true. And I put a little devotion at the end of each chapter. Most of the devotions are rich in ministry. A couple are just for entertainment. They're just for grins.
All right, the book is called Jonah Had a Whale of a Time, Random True Stories to Encourage and Inspire by J.J. Jasper. And it's short story humor, basically, is what it is. Most of them have a spiritual point.
Right.
But it's a lot of fun to read. You've gotten rave reviews. Now, how can people... And we're offering it here at AFA
right,
and AFR.
Right.
If people want to get a copy of it, how much is it and where do they go to get it?
$15.99, I think, but I know this.
Well, now at a garage sale, though, in about 3 years.
3 years, you can get it for 50
right,
cents.
But,
yeah,
right
but
now,
a lot of people aren't that patient.
Right.
Yeah, we're kind of in
$15.99,
we're in
you're correct.
Yeah. Well, it's afastore.net. Now, this actually is the sequel to my first book, which was Moses Was a Basket Case. Yeah. Ray, technically he was.
That's exactly right.
Moses Very was biblical. A basket case. It was became a bestseller. We're grateful for that. In fact, this time last year, we said, you know what? Let's just do a reprint. People love to laugh, and we just never dreamed. Thousands of copies were printed up last year. Ray, in 6 days or 9 days, we completely sold out. Well,
wow.
In fact, Moses Was a Basket Case sold out a few days ago. Lifeway doesn't have any more. AFA store, jjjasper.com, we're completely out. But the brand new book, we do have copies, but when we say limited supply, we mean that. Right. So I think people are going to love it. You're going to laugh and be encouraged and be inspired.
Where can they get it now?
AFA
can they get
store?
It by Christmas?
Yes, afastore.net, afastore.net. It helps the ministry. And for a father with newborn twins, royalties translate into diaper money. So my wife says thank you. I say thank you. But, yeah, it helps the ministry. So it's a fun way to help American Family Association, American Family Radio. And Tim, I mean this with all sincerity. Our listeners, if you do not laugh out loud, I'm not talking about smiling as you read it. If you do not laugh out loud, I personally guarantee I'll give you your money back.
Yeah,
can I tell you a quick story? I was at a.
Is this story in the book?
No, okay. I was at a book signing at Lifeway a couple of weeks ago or a week ago, and some people were gathered around. Well, one lady who was not an AFR listener, she came up and looked, said, "Oh, now what is this?" And I said, "What's a book of short stories? They're true, they're wacky, they're zany, but they're true." And she said, "Oh," and she said, "And what's the book for? What's your goal?" I said, "Well, it's to make people laugh." And I said, "I guarantee you, you'll laugh when you read it." She said, "Oh, you guarantee I will? Is that right?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She picks the book up, opens it up. I don't know what chapter. She opened it up, read one sentence, and burst out laughing. She just laughed and laughed and laughed. And as a writer, as a humor writer,
That's
just like saying sick 'em to a dog. And she said, "Oh, I want a copy for myself, and I want one for my daughter-in-law." And she started buying multiple copies. So that made me feel good.
For our listeners who have been listening to you for years and years and years, because you were one of the first voices on AFR.
Actually, the very first voice on the very first day.
Yeah, for
25
our listeners
years ago.
Who love listening to your show in the morning and love hearing you on Trivia Friday, if they want all of your jokes and all of your humor and personality packed in a book in written form, then this is the way to do it. To get this book, Jonah had a whale of a time.
And for $15.99. And so if you want to order this, folks, and you need to for your own psychological well-being.
That's right. We all need to laugh.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what the book's
perfect. Go to afastore.net, afastore.net, and it's $15.99.
I know my time's up, but
Not on earth, I hope.
Well, let me say this. The book is perfect. The book is perfect. If you've got a wobbly table, you can slide it under the short leg. And
yeah, you pay $7 or $8 for that right there alone.
That's
if
right.
you go to Walmart.
Coming from the author.
Yeah. Don't let a cow read the book or she'll laugh so hard milk will come out of her nose. Don't read this book standing next to a microwave oven. Don't read it if you're 7 or 8 months long. You know, I should have put those kind. Don't read it if you're in Montana. I think that goes without saying. It's not
available
even available.
Montana.
All the disclaimers.
All right. So, J.J. Jasper, the book is called Jonah Had a Whale of a Time, Short Story Humor. And by to encourage and inspire. Thank you, JJ.
Thank you. Thank you, Ray. Good to hear your voice and Tim and Walker.
Okay. All right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Is Sandy with us yet?
Okay. Not yet. Stand by on Sandy.
Okay. Anyway, Ray, we are what do you got? Do you usually do some preaching, teaching, writing around this time of year about the Christmas season leading up?
You know, for the last 2 or 3 years, I guess this is maybe the fourth year in a row, we have released an Advent ebook. And for Christians who are, you know, if you're raised in, say, Methodist or Presbyterian, Lutheran background or Catholic, you understand Advent. But a lot of evangelicals don't. That's the season roughly between Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's when you're looking forward to the coming of the Lord. And so our ministry, Keep Believing Ministries, we have on our website a free ebook, a Kindle Nook PDF. It's called Faces Around the Cross, and there are 25 daily devotions starting, well, we started with with Eve in the Garden of Eden on day one, and then Abraham, and then Moses, and Jacob, and so on. And we're going through in the first half of the month to show the Old Testament predictions leading up to the coming of Christ. And then in the second half, say December 13 through 25, looking at the shepherds, the wise men, Herod, Caesar Augustus, and Zechariah, Elizabeth, John the Baptist. It's a great way in this month of December to get your heart oriented toward, well, there's so much stuff that distracts us all. It's good to have a devotion. It reminds us about the true meaning of Christmas. And so if you come to keepbelieving.com, you don't have to leave your name or address, and you don't pay any money. Just come. And there's a big banner over the top of our website that says Faces Around the Manger. And you can download that ebook free and join us on this Advent journey from Eden to Bethlehem.
Okay, I'm going there right now. I'm typing in Keep Believing. Keep Believing Ministries, and I click there, and the internet grinds. Isn't this our luck here on live? There it is. Okay. So, if I'm go to keepbelieving.com, which is your website, Ray.
Right.
51 Christmas sermons.
Okay. And that little banner is going to change in about 2 seconds.
It did.
And there's this Faces Around the Manger.
Yes.
That's what you're talking about?
That's what I'm talking
about. Okay, this is the Faces Around the Manger. This is free at Ray's website. And through this 25-day devotional, Ray Pritchard introduces us to the many faces around the manger. Experience new joy as our Savior becomes the center of this Christmas for you. Read or download our new Advent ebook here. So it's free?
Absolutely free.
Wow.
Thousands of people have already come to the website and downloaded it. And
I'm going
to
do that myself this afternoon.
It's just a way we all need to get back to what matters most.
Yes.
During this time of the
Amen.
Year. So it's a way we can.
You have a lot of good stuff resource. There. You have free sermons and
podcasts, and videos and books and some of the books.
So if
I'm
a pastor and I would rather golf Saturday than write my sermon, can I take one of yours?
Well, except for that little part about it's going to be too cold. It's going to be a little too cold maybe to golf
as long as you give Ray credit for the sermon.
You know,
Pastor Ray credit for the sermon.
I just say, Walker, look, you know, the thing about milk, preaching is like, you know, milk many cows but make your own butter. if my sermons will give some guys some ideas, but you know who uses the 51 Christmas sermons? We hear from a lot from pastors in Africa and Asia. We got pastors in Pakistan. In fact, we have, oddly enough, more people come to us from Pakistan than almost any place in Asia. And that's one of the toughest places to be a Christian. But pastors have found us. And so, you know, I'm thinking, hey, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough over there. So if anything we've got can help our brothers over in Pakistan, have at it.
Amen.
And God bless you.
Amen. KeepBelieving.com, the website for Dr. Ray Pritchard and his ministry. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Walker, what's the latest thing you've posted at Facebook?
Well, I posted JJ's book, Jonah Had a Whale of a Time, and I'm also going to post Dr. Ray Pritchard's website so people can find out more information there.
So that's all at our Facebook page for Today's Issues on American Family Radio. So anything we talk about, we try to put up there so it's easily accessible to you, the stories that we cover on the program. Well, joining us now is Sandy Rios. Sandy is heard each morning on American Family Radio from 7:05 to 8 o'clock Central Time with the Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk. And then Sandy's also the Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association. And we want to ask her about some stuff going on in the news. Sandy, good morning to you.
Is there stuff going on in the news? I didn't notice that.
Yeah, there's some stuff going on.
Making Princess cookies over here.
There's some stuff going on. Hey, I want to ask you, first of all, what are your thoughts? There are two, I don't know if we talked about this last time you were on, there are two positions that have been named cabinet-level positions by President-elect Donald Trump. Get your thoughts on them. One is, yesterday, Dr. Ben Carson was named as he'll be the new leader of the Housing and Urban Development.
Yes.
Housing and Urban Development. What did you think of that?
You know what? The more I think about it, the better I like it.
Okay.
And the only reason I wouldn't like it is because of Dr. Carson's, this is not his field, you know. He's a neurosurgeon.
Right.
But you know what? He was raised in urban housing. And I have to tell you that the story of what's been going on in housing and urban development is another nightmare that has not been told. And it hasn't been told by the left because they don't want you to know what they've been doing. They don't want you to know what they had in mind and what the president was attempting to do. And it doesn't. And it hasn't been told by the right because they don't want to be accused of being racist. Now, they're not racist to oppose Barack Obama's proposals on housing and urban development. And I'll give you a thumbnail sketch in a second. But they'll be accused of it. Just like if you're against Obamacare, you're a racist too. It's kind of in that category. And so this is an area where most Americans have no clue. But honestly, Tim, it is more radical what the president has been trying to do with the nation's zoning laws and housing rules, more as radical as Obamacare ever was. And it involves withholding federal money. If states and municipalities refuse to turn over these tedious maps on where populations live, where minorities are.
Who's wanting this? The Obama administration?
Yes. Through an executive order, I might
add.
It's either a regulation or an executive order.
Now, aren't these the same people who would agree with that are complaining that Donald Trump might encourage sanctuary cities to be cut off should they not comply with the federal law?
Very good point. And the other part of this would require a longer discussion, but I just want to make sure I get these two things that they're trying to do away with local zoning laws. Like if you live in a neighborhood, let's say, Tim, where you live, let's say you have a yard and you have a house and other people next to you have yards and houses and the zoning requires it. You know, there's a certain amount of space here and a certain amount of space between the houses. If the federal government doesn't think you have enough people living where you are and not enough of the right people living where you are, they can go in and overrule
This is what Obama wants to do.
And build high-rise housing and make it as dense as possible and completely upend the nature of your community or your neighborhood.
The federal government has this is me preaching, but the federal government has no authority to override local I mean, unless you got some kind of poison or something coming out of it.
But Tim, it's like education. Mm-hmm. The federal government isn't supposed to be deciding what our kids are taught either.
Right.
But because they held federal dollars over the heads of states, states adopted Common Core.
You know, I've never understood that either. I've never understood that point either. And this is a longer discussion, as you mentioned here. But if the Congress is supposed to have the purse strings, and then what you're telling me sounds like is the Congress designates money for certain agencies, for example, within the federal government, and some of them are under the jurisdiction of the executive branch, i.e. the president. So the Congress has already given them money to do what they want to with their programs, and after that, it's out of Congress's hands?
No, yeah. You know it isn't. You know, it's another case of them not doing their job. But that's another story, too, isn't it?
The Republicans? That,
yes.
Really?
All right, but okay.
I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you. There's gambling going on in the back.
But but here's the thing, Tim. There are other things, too. They're trying to force control over suburbs in these overarching decision-making bodies and build high-rises and do away with parking so that people can no longer drive cars. And so this is what the administration has been in the process of doing, but you've never heard of that because nobody's reporting it. But Ben Carson knows about it.
Okay.
And Ben Carson has publicly come after them, and now he's going to be, I think, he'll be confirmed for Housing and Urban Development.
I think Dr. Ben Carson is obviously he's a very intelligent guy, very smart. Sandy's correct. Sandy's correct that this is out of his professional life, which has been in medicine, but it doesn't mean he can't do the job. And he was raised in inner city Baltimore, I think. And so I think this is a threat to what's about to potentially happen is a threat to the Democratic Party because they risk losing the loyalty of the African American voters should Donald Trump and his administration be successful in reigniting life in inner city America. And Abe Hamilton, who grew up in inner city New Orleans, told us recently, he said that the school choice issue could be a game changer too with the African American community. And so I think this is what's at the Democrats are very threatened. If they lose the loyalty of the black voters in America, then they're done as a party probably.
Well,
they're going to oppose anything that might work. That's what I'm saying.
That's true. And I would expect that when Dr. Carson goes through his confirmation, they are going to paint him as, he's going to be the next Clarence Thomas. Anybody that opposes the policies of the president, Obama, will be racist. And so that's what's going to happen. And it will be a battle. But it'll be interesting to see if the details of what I've just told you, more detail, comes out, if the Republicans really step up to the plate and inform people about what Obama's been trying to do and why we have to stop it.
I think with President-elect Trump, when he becomes president, I think he's going to give some of these weak-kneed Republicans some backbone, hopefully, to do the right thing. Donald Trump, you get the rough edges with the smooth polished side, and so he make no mistake about it, when he gets his mind set on something, he sort of calls it what it is, and that's the political consequences chips fall where they may. But hopefully he will help them get some backbone on some of these issues. Thank you, Sandy. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
That's Sandy Rios. We will return after the news with more of today's issues.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.